I'm all about the hustle, I'm all about the grind. Every day I'm trying to get it, take it one step at a time.
Welcome to Carl Brizzy Live. Carl Brizzy, your host. Thanks for tuning in. Today I'm going to get a little personal. But before I do that, I want to warm up for a minute or two and just talk about these potholes. I know this is like nothing compared to the tragedy in Florida and what we're witnessing now with the politics of the school safety and gun rhetoric. But I'm telling you, I put this on Facebook just on Wednesday. I'm taping the show Thursday to be released tomorrow. And my Facebook page, Rob Kendall, blew up. I asked people to start taking photos of their tires and of the giant craters on the streets of Indianapolis. And I'm telling you, I have so much documented evidence now. And I actually, people called me this morning, told me that they got their second flat in 2 days. Now, look, those tires and those rims are expensive, $500,000. This poor guy had two go out on him in 2 days, didn't have a spare. That means a tow truck. That's another couple hundred bucks. This is out of hand. If you look at a map of the city of Indianapolis, it looks like a bombed Bosnian landscape, right? Because there's red dots littered with all where all these chuck holes are. I mean, this is crazy. I know the weather's been difficult. If you cross over 96th Street and you go into Hamilton County, they don't have this problem. This is a city of Indianapolis problem. This is a Joe Hogsett problem.
How does that even happen? Because, like, as the mayor, you got, like, two jobs, right? You got to, well, I mean, more than two, but two primary jobs to get reelected. You got to keep the crime rate low. You got to fix the streets.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how incompetent you have to be to let this be as bad as it is. We'll just wait and see. Whoever that person is. You know, maybe he just won't run again.
Well, because having served in an elected office of local government, street cleaning, street maintenance, it's a science, right? I mean, you know, if you get X amount of snow, here's how much salt you got to have,
right.
You can only have the plows out at a certain time. I mean, it is 2018. It's not 1918.
Right.
This is down to a science.
Right. There were guys out there, like, with shovels in the rain, like, filling potholes like you know, you would back in however many years ago. It's mind-boggling to me.
But how inept is the Marion County GOP that, like, there's no pressure on Hogsett right now?
Right.
There's nothing.
Right?
Like,
no.
He should be on his way out of office, and there's nobody.
Why not have the Marion County GOP, like, organize a protest of people who have been victimized by potholes in front of the city county building? I mean, something. Do something.
So here's the deal, too, because Merritt's a very competent guy, but I'm not feeling like he's working with a lot of competent actors. I mean, think about Mike McQuillan and the clown show he helped enable with Stephen Clay. I mean, these are the guys Merritt's working with. You don't have a deep bench.
Competency is one thing, but you have to have passion. You have to follow through, right? And so, you know, maybe that part is the part that we're missing. But anyway, that is not what I just had to say it because it's driving me crazy. But here's what happened. So, you know, I post on Carl Brizzy Live and I cross post on my Facebook page, and I deeply care and think about issues, and the way that the progressive left has politicized and framed the issues surrounding the tragedy in Florida has really worked me up, and it's worked me up on a metaphorical level. And what I mean by that is that it bothers me more than it probably should, because I think it means more than it does. I think what's going on has much deeper implications. And so I started posting some things on Facebook about some practical things, some non-ideological things that schools and others can do to make schools, you know, not soft targets, make them a little bit harder targets, because right now it's just too easy to do violence there. And my oldest friend of over 30 years, Rob, sent me a text out of the blue about this Facebook post. Now, full disclaimer, she's always been my most progressive friend, so we don't necessarily always agree in politics. I love her nonetheless. But I really did underestimate her ideological passion and the sense of desperation that she was communicating. and really a little bit of almost fanaticism, like in a devolved state of sort of, oh my God, I cannot believe that you are someone that I've known for 30 years, meaning me, and that you are saying these things, that you want to put more guns in schools. She said, you used to be smart, implying that I guess I've somehow devolved. You know, and I just feel like this whole debate, it's like Twitter, right? And you're teaching me how to use Twitter. I don't really know how to use it, but I feel like it devolves the IQ fairly quickly.
Well, everybody's got big internet muscles.
Right, right, right.
I mean, like Jemele Hill was on The View yesterday, and, you know, she said some pretty outlandish things about the president, and then she gets in front of people in person, and she backpedals out of it.
Did she?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I know. I wonder what my friend would say if we had had the conversation in face, you know, instead of, you know, employing levels of uncivility. And honestly, she was vilifying me. I mean, again, making sweeping generalizations, making misleading statements. What about the kids kind of, you know, argument? And I think you've sold your soul. A lot of people follow you on Facebook. What are you doing? Kind of.
But that didn't bother you, right?
Well, it bothered me because it came from this person.
Really?
who I genuinely respect and who I know is smarter than this.
You don't strike me as a words bother me kind of guy.
Well, you know, it just came from, again, it only bothered me because I've known her for like forever, right? And I just went to her 50th birthday party, which was fantastic. And she, you know, calls me out. I'm your oldest. I guess my point here is that, right, it bothers me more than it should because of not only who it is, but because I know that she's smart and because I see how she's been consumed with this ideology that has somehow caused her to not use her reason. And we'll talk more about that when we come back. And I apologize. I'm using this as sort of a like my own on-air therapy. But maybe it'll help other people as well. Before you throw your friends under the bus, give them actually have a face-to-face conversation with them. Give them a chance to explain themselves. Carl Brizzi Live. We'll be right back.
He made his presence known, especially at the casino where he definitely did not work. People got the message.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two fucking balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 fucking grand. Yeah, right, I'm sure.
Hey, Eddie. How are you? What are you doing here?
I'm over here now.
You're over here?
Yeah,
I'm over here with him.
Whoa. We're waiting on Carmine.
Yeah, we're looking for Carmine.
Hey, welcome back to Carl Brizzi Live, talking about what this debate, what to do about the shooting in Florida. What's that? What is that doing to actual relationships? And I was just talking about my relationship with my oldest friend and how that devolved into I was texting back and forth like all of these horrible things, and it really devolved into almost like a mania. And I kept coming back with her, you know, to her with facts, and I said, look, I'm a public safety professional, right? Like I know what real evil is. I've stared down real evil. I prosecuted real evil. I was attacked by real evil. I understand your concern with your children, but you're not making sense. If you look at the facts and figures around what banning anything does, right? We don't do a very good job, Rob, of banning stuff in the U.S. Right? I mean, if you look at all of the gun bans, there are no statistics, no credible statistics that support any real effect. If you just go back and look at things like drugs, we haven't been very good at banning drugs. Prohibition, it's another great thing. I mean, look what happened during Prohibition. You ban alcohol, and guess what happens? Who has a heyday? The bad guys, because they don't care that the stuff's illegal. And in fact, they thrived in that market. They had all the alcohol, and they had a thriving black market in which to prosper. So anyway, all of these different examples, none of it mattered. And, you know, I think that what we just discovered now with CNN and providing a script to one of the students in terms of what, like literally telling them what to say, That is another one of these sort of ideological crazy things. You're supposed to be journalists. I mean, my gosh, they've lost so much credibility, and they're continuing to lose credibility, and that is what's contributing to this whole idea of fake news. I wasn't really necessarily buying into the whole fake news thing. When Rob Kendall tweeted out that story today from CNN, I literally went and messaged him and said, is this true? Is this verified? Because I didn't want to retweet something out that was, you know, some kind of some troll thing. And it turns out it's true. They gave the kid a script and told him what to say. That is so horrifying. And you know, they're trying to present this false dichotomy that if you don't think that weapons should be outlawed for law-abiding citizens, then you don't care about kids. Or if you're an NRA member, then you don't want to protect kids. And it's so horrible. Look, I don't, you know, the students that are in Florida are saying these things. I can't blame them for not knowing what a false dichotomy is, because I'm not sure actually what's being taught anymore in high schools, but false dichotomies are probably not one of them. But I can certainly blame the disingenuous journalists at CNN and MSNBC for their political manipulation of these events. And why I don't trust them is that when you look at every other issue that the progressives engage in, right? There's always this ideological underpinning. They're trying to make themselves sound so rational. Like, you don't need assault weapons. Just ban assault weapons. Well, it's just like, you know, look, we don't want to ban speech. We just maybe want to ban certain kinds of speech. Well, maybe it's not just the speech, but maybe it's what you were thinking, but you know, before you hit the person. Because if you hit the person because he was black, that's worse than hitting the person because he stole your parking space. I mean, it's their ideology is, it's like a combination. It's like a Marxist totalitarian thought police kind of philosophy. And not for one second do I believe, and I don't care what words come out of their mouth, that their agenda is not to take guns away from people. And you know, I'm although it's starting to affect me, I do watch Morning Joe in the morning, and I listen to Scarborough and Brzezinski, and it, you know, I used to find them amusing. This last couple of days, Rob, they're really driving me out of my mind. I'm beginning to lose my marbles in listening to those two.
It's understandable. I don't know why you would do that to yourself.
I know.
I mean, you do it by choice. Not even by force.
You know, it's the same thing with the immigration laws, right? Like, it's a political agenda to increase the Democratic base. And how they can rationally call for gun control out of one side of their mouth, and on the other side of their mouth, like, call for unfettered border access to who knows who and who knows what, who knows what history. I mean, they're out of their minds.
Well, isn't it a big portion of it, too, is just the pandering, right? I mean, we're all pandering now for votes on all sides of the aisle. And when a big, complicated issue like this comes along that does require thinking and reasonable people to come together to have a workable solution, you just get pandering.
Well, maybe that's just what it is. Maybe that's just what it is. If this isn't ideologically driven and it's just about votes, that's even more sinister to me. Because at least with ideology, like, you know where it comes from. It's a driving, you know, it's who you are, it's how you see the world, it's the lens that you see the world through. If it's just practically, we just need to get more votes, man, that's bad news for the country.
Well, I just say it's about votes because why else is Marco Rubio going to that thing on CNN? And he knows what the answer is. And he did so much harm to what's right and what our Constitution says and what good public policy is because he wouldn't just look at the person and go, I'm sorry you went through this, but you are incorrect. Here are the facts. He tiptoed around things. He really made himself look bad because he wouldn't just say what he knew was right.
Yeah, well, he's not. I mean, right. I mean, he's not the poster child for being a stand-up guy. Hey, I do like what your President Trump did though yesterday. Boy, he brought those students and their parents into the White House, and he let them talk for a couple hours. And I thought that was kind of a very presidential thing to do. Don't you?
Yeah, I think it was great. And it was listening. That's the key, right?
That's right.
So he's listening. He wasn't like Rubio where I'm going to get in a debate.
Right.
I mean, as an elected person, you know this too. You don't go into a room full of people that hate you if you care about what the outcome is going to be, because you're never going to make them happy.
Right.
So you either got to stand up and say, no, you're wrong, and just go, or don't go.
Right. Right.
You know, those are your two options. You can't say, I'm going to go to try to find a reasonable solution for these people because they come in with an agenda.
All right. More when we get back. Carl Brizzi live.
You sure?
I'm positive.
I'm a little confused.
You look confused. Maybe if I stick your fucking face through this window over here, like, you know, you'll get unconfused. Give me the fucking money.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean anything by it.
Yeah, I know. That's why you had it ready. You thought I was fucking laying it?
Fucking head.
Your fucking head, huh?
Smart enough.
Fuck around, Tony.
All right, welcome back to Carl Brizzi Live. Talking with Rob Kendall here a little bit about whether or not the Democrats are using this in a cynical way to just get more votes, or is it somehow more ideological, driven more by their beliefs and their fundamental passions? I don't know. I think it may backfire on them, though. I think they may have overplayed their hand. We'll see. But look, folks, regardless of how you feel about the constitutional issues at play here, there are real concrete things that the nation can do to protect our kids. And interestingly enough, there are a couple of things right here in Indiana. We actually, we're one of five states that have a law. It's called the Red Flag Law, that allows for guns to be removed from individuals who are deemed dangerous by law enforcement. So back in 2005, this was in response to a shooting that occurred a couple of years before. Actually, I'd just been elected prosecutor, and Officer Jake Laird was killed by a person who had been adjudicated mentally ill. The police took his guns away from him, but then they had no way to keep the guns. And the killer shot his mother and then shot and wounded a bunch of other people. Responding officers came to the scene, and several officers were shot, and Officer Jake Laird was killed. And his dad actually was a neighbor of mine, so I know the case very, very well. But in response to that, in 2005, the legislature enacted what's called basically a red flag law, which allows police officers, when people are dangerous and unstable, they have some sort of mental illness, you can go to the court and sometimes not even go to the court, depending upon the emergency, and have the guns confiscated for a time being. And then there's a mechanism by where the person, once they're released from the hospital, can go and get their weapons back. So due process is involved, and it doesn't infringe upon or implicate Second Amendment rights, but it does provide a protection in, you know, emergency situations where, where there is mental illness demonstrated. Now, the other thing is that there's a Southwestern High School in Shelby County, Indiana, Rob. I don't know if you know this or not. Not very many people do. Serves as a model for enhanced school safety. This school used a $400,000 federal grant. It has bulletproof doors. It has glass to repel intruders. Has hallway cameras, which have a direct feed to the local sheriff's office, and it has mechanisms to disorient and detain intruders while first responders are responding to the scene. Isn't that cool?
It's really interesting how technology is changing things rapidly.
Yeah.
I mean, think about how safe that is, and they did it all with the $400,000 grant.
Yeah, it's not crazy expensive. And here's the other thing, too, because one of the big failures in Florida, in addition to the FBI not following up on the tip, I think is on the school officials, quite honestly, because there were signs everywhere, and the students were talking and tweeting about it, that they knew that Cruz was going to blow. Both of his adopted parents had died. There were four people, including Cruz, who attended his mom's funeral shortly before he started shooting up the school. He was living with a neighbor, so he had no relatives. He was apparently ostracized, more of an outlier, and he had been expelled from school. I mean, all right, you're out of here. You're crazy. And my point is, you know, we've got to rely on the school resource officers. The school resource officers and the schools in Washington Township are fantastic. And what's fantastic about them is that they are not only there to engage potential threats, but they're there to engage the students, which, you know, is what this is all about. It's all about prevention. And, you know, they see what they see, and then students can come and tell them things in a trusting, you know, environment. You build community, you build safety that way. You know, I think that's really important, and I think that's going to be the future. The president just today is talking about arming teachers, and the left is like all up in arms about that, and they trotted out some culinary teacher from Parkland School the other day, and one of the reporters asked her a question, which I'm sure she already knew the answer to because of a script, but she asked Rob, this culinary teacher, if you had had a gun, would you have been able to stop the shooter? And, you know, the teacher's like, no, that's not my job. I teach kids how to cook. And I'm like, okay, you're not the person we're going to give the gun to. Right? Like, just stop talking. You know, there are plenty of teachers out there who I'm sure are, if not already proficient in firearms, who have a desire to be proficient and educated in firearms, could be. They don't have to necessarily, you know, carry it on their hip. There can be secure places. We have these boxes all over the place where they're fingerprint coded, and in case of emergency, you crack the box open and you get the 9mm out. And if the dude pokes his head into your classroom, you light him up. I mean, you don't have to go running down the hallway, but if three or four teachers in the school, you know, were trained and had weapons, that thing lasted 5 minutes. I'm going to venture a guess that it probably would have lasted less time than that. I mean, that's what I think. I think that those are concrete measures that will practically affect the situation, as opposed to, you know, kind of a naive idealism of, if we just ban the guns, then the evil people will stop killing people. Well, that's just muddle-headed thinking. That honestly does not make sense. You can't point to what other countries have done, because the United States is not like other countries. These guns, they were actually like confiscated. And you try confiscating guns in the United States and you see what happens. I think a civil war would break out, and nobody wants that. So let's focus on doing measurable, concrete things to keep our kids safe, to secure these schools. Thanks for listening. Our third podcast, Carl Brizzi Live. We'll be right back.
Except you got to do it right. I mean, you got to have the hole already dug before you show up with a package in the trunk. Otherwise, you're talking about a half hour or 45 minutes to dig it. And who knows who's going to be coming along in that time. Before you know it, you got to dig a few more holes. You could be there all fucking night.
Hey, thanks for listening to Carl Brizzi Live. It's Carl Brizzi. If you like this podcast, shoot me a note on Carl Brizzi Live. Talk to you next week.
I'm all about the hustle. I'm all about the grind. Every day I'm trying to get it. Take it one step at a time.